Amen. You may be seated. Well, praise the Lord for the worship this morning. I'm all fired up now. I feel like I ought to be putting on a basketball uniform or something. Wow, praise the Lord. It makes me think that when we worship the Lord and our hearts are being true to that worship, right? And if we love Him enough, it makes me think that we can turn things around in our world. I don't know about you, but I just think that way. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be looking at Titus this morning. It's a unique thing. And happy Mother's Day to all you moms out there. And to those who are moms, to everyone else, right? So I appreciate people that I've come in contact in my life with. And some of you know I do a service in earlier before I come here. And we sang a song about if I could hear my mother pray again. And some of you remember that. We used to sing it in the older church, and it's been a few years. But one of the things that occurred to me when we were singing that song was that probably there's a generation that we're getting down to at this point that probably can relate to that song of hearing their moms pray. Now, my situation, I tell you all the time, it wasn't that way when I grew up. And in fact, I told them this morning, I said, you know, it would be more, I think I could hear my mom saying different things other than prayer, if I can be honest with you about that. But I remember when I had a neighbor, and I was thinking about her the other day, and I just thought, you know what, she was someone who was a mother to me. So most of you need to be aware, when we make disciples, that you are able to not just be a mother to your kids, and if you have no children, you can still be a mother to children, because that's what was happening for me with my neighbor. And I remember that she and her husband, they had three children, and I was friends with one of the kids. And of course, they were obviously on a budget with three kids back in the 70s. And so anytime they went swimming or if they went to the movies or anything like that, they would invite me to come along. And what was unique about this mother was that she had this great voice. She used to sing hymns all the time. And I remember looking at her thinking, man, she's really religious. You know, I didn't know what to do with it because I wasn't used to that. And so she sang the hymns, and I remember when I would go to vacation Bible school or to kids' church or whatever it was, she would sing with us. And sometimes, many of you probably don't realize this, but when we used to sing Do Lord, sometimes that would be just me remembering her because I remember when she would sing that with us. Does anybody remember that song, Do Lord? Oh, Do Lord, oh, do remember me? And then she'd say, Oh, Lordy. So anyway, that was something that was always special to me. So I used to love that song. I didn't know, I mean, I just thought it was great. And so she sang those songs. And I was always in the environment of God when I was around her. And she would show the goodness of God to me, if that makes sense. Because, you know, in the situation I was in, I wasn't really sure about the goodness of God in my life. Because in fact, I didn't think He liked me. It was really, when you think about this, there are kids out there, and I'm starting to think that there are more kids like I was today. It's more common to be like I was. I didn't think He liked me, but when I went to their house, I got to be introduced, you know, to what right and wrong is. I got to be introduced into the presence of who Jesus Christ is. They even had the custom Ford van. Do you all remember those? Remember when they used to put the windows in and they would, you know, deck them out? And I remember they had it decked out. We would sit in the van. She would take us swimming in that van. They had captain's chairs in the back. Does anybody remember that? And then they had a nice stereo system inside of it. And me and my buddy used to get in there. Remember, turn the key back. You could turn the ignition on and run the battery down, listening to the radio and stuff like that. Some of you know what I'm talking about. And so we would go swimming in that. But we would always have a time of prayer. We would talk about Jesus. And what was unique about her was that not only did she talk about Jesus with me, but she had the character that went along with it. Y'all understand what I'm saying? She showed me a lot of goodness. And so the reason I'm telling you this story is because I want to go ahead and say we're living in a time right now that because when we think of that song, If I Could Hear My Mother Pray Again, it doesn't relate to most of the American culture at this point. In fact, if you take a look around, one thing I know for sure is this country is falling apart, and it's because the homes have fallen apart. God is just irrelevant to many of our homes in the United States right now. And I'm going to go one step further because I want to make a distinction. But not only is God irrelevant to our homes right now, but even within the Christian home, I'm going to say that Jesus is irrelevant. And if he's someone that we actually talk about or communicate about, we only talk about him in terms of what he's done for us so that we don't have to pay for our sin. And we limit it to that. We don't ever talk about the expectation that he has for us to show goodness to all of the world. Because he does. So when we start thinking about what it means to make disciples, you know, moms, it starts right with you. Because disciple making, if we could just make disciples in America or in the American church, starting with our children, you know what would happen? We would start to turn things around. You know, because I'm one of those guys that says, I don't care if they ever put prayer back in school. Is it okay if I say that? Because they can legislate that, but until prayer is back in the home and Jesus is at the forefront of the home, nothing matters what we do. It's just the way it is. And you can say, well, I'm shocked the pastor said that. But I'm telling you, when we do what is good, when we show what is good, and moms, it begins with you. When you show what is good, we don't have to coerce people into following Jesus Christ because now they are being persuaded to follow Jesus. So when we look at Titus, for instance, these are pastoral letters, and I generally just read them. I don't always preach out of these. I usually find other books to preach out of, but I thought while I was walking on the doodle trail one day, I'm back into doing that. I'm walking and I'm still gaining weight. Who can figure it out? I don't know. Maybe I should quit eating so much. I don't know. But I'm walking on the doodle trail and I was listening. I like to listen to the Bible. One of the things I learned about me is that I learn rather well from listening. And so when I listen to the word, I hear things differently. And I heard something in Titus that stood out to me. And Paul was talking to Titus on how to teach the church. He wanted them to have elders. He also wanted to deal with issues of what was going on in the Christian home. So he wanted to talk to the older women and the younger women. And he wanted Titus to do that as well. And so he gave some direction, if you will, on the way it should look in the Christian home. And so what's unique about it is that they are on the island of Crete, and Paul says, this is one of the scriptures that always caused me to scratch my head. He said, as you know, Cretans are always liars. Has anybody ever read that? And so what he's saying is, it was a well-known fact that which is over by Greece, they tended to lie to people all the time. And the culture there was actually influencing into the church, which then caused Paul to say, we've got to put some good leadership in the church because they're not getting it. They're not being distinct from the culture in Crete. And so there was a lot of sexual immorality and a lot of different things that was going on. And so I'm just going to start with chapter 2, and I'm going to read the whole chapter. I think there's only 15 verses in it. I thought we would just read the whole chapter. I won't talk about it, but we'll at least get something out of it, okay? So if you will, turn with me. We'll start with verse 1 of chapter 2 of Titus. And it says this: you, however, must teach what is appropriate to sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith, in love, and endurance. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can urge the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. Similarly, encourage the young men to be self-controlled. In everything, set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity. seriousness and sound, I think I lost my place, seriousness and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. Teach slaves to be subject to their masters in everything, to try to please them, not to talk back to them, and not to steal from them, but to show that they can be fully trusted, so that in every way they will make the teaching about God our Savior attractive. Should highlight that. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. You should highlight that as well. While we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. These then are the things you should teach, encourage, and rebuke with all authority. Do not let anyone despise you. So before I get started, I want to say something else too. I know we're living in a time where some of this language here seems to be a bit strange to you. Okay? I want to make you aware of something. If Jesus Christ had never come to this earth, this world would never have changed. Y'all understand what I'm saying? So when we start talking about issues of slavery, and I'm going to go ahead and say there were women who were being married off to people they didn't actually love. It wasn't like it is in the United States, but this is the first century. Because of the advent of Jesus Christ, these things have been overcome. But Paul, rather than trying to get them to rebel against these things, I'm going to say something to you that's going to either sound great to you or it's going to confuse you even more. But in any situation that you feel trapped by an enemy of some type, if we could just learn to love our enemies as Jesus Christ told the church, rather than asking someone to change our situation, see, our situation changes when we love our enemies, because that's where your freedom actually starts. Y'all hear that? When you love like Jesus loves, and remember who put him on the cross, right? We all did, because we didn't love him, but he loved us anyway. When we love like Jesus, whatever situation I'm in, I'm going to be free. It's not someone that's going to say that, and we'll move on. First thing I want you to see this morning, mothers, for you to show goodness to all, mothers show goodness to all when they teach what is good through character. So this is not anything amazing, because we generally get this. We understand this. Dads, I'm going to get to the dads later on. But moms, I apologize to you, and I know I'm not a mom. I have a tough time doing these things. But I want to say that we teach what is good through good character. So you heard what Paul said to Titus. He said, tell the older women to teach the younger women to think of their character as something sacred. In other words, tell the older women to teach the other women to show them how sacred their character is, and to have reverence for that. And I was thinking about that when he said that. I thought, wow, that just seems strange. I understand that you have to have good character so that you can show what is good. If we're going to show anything that is good, it has to come from somebody who has good character. And I thought about that. Well, let's be realistic. What is the one thing that we're going to take to heaven with us? We're going to take who we actually are on the inside, which is what's going to have our character wrapped up in it. Because it's our character that people see. So, you know, I said to you, my friend's mom, right? She was the one who introduced me to Jesus. She showed me a lot of good things, because of not only did she understand Scripture, but it was through her character that she seemed to hold in high regard. She was always concerned about doing right and wrong, and I could witness it. It wasn't so much from her saying, this is right and this is wrong. It was from her actually doing what is right and wrong. So some of you might know, like in the book of James. In the book of James, he says, don't be just mere hearers of the word, be doers of the word. So, for instance, my friend's mom. So, you know, when I was growing up, it was a lot different world then. My friend and I, we would get into a fist fight over a foot race. We would get into a fist fight just over looking at each other wrong. And, you know, I've said this before, you know, I'd be at his house at 8 in the morning. We'd be in a fight by 10. He'd beat me up. I'd go home. And then I'd be back at his house by 2 o'clock. We'd stay all night with each other. But some of the reason why I would be back at his house, because when I would be laying on my couch after thinking, I just got beat up again. When I was thinking about that, and I there would be a knock at my door. And his mom would drag him over to my house and make him apologize to me. Now, he didn't mean it, right? He didn't mean it. He'd be like, sorry. Doesn't that look sincere? Sorry. But his mom, I could tell this wasn't something that she was just doing. She genuinely, out of her good character, wanted to show me goodness, and she brought her son over, who just worked me over and made him say he was sorry because she valued me. Y'all see that? You see, mothers, if you're ever going to teach your children right from wrong, if you're ever going to disciple your children, you're going to have to do it from good character. It can't be, you do as I say, not as I do, right? It doesn't work that way. Because when I was going up in school and I'd go to church periodically, there would always be a lady that was ready to tell me a Bible story, but there wasn't always a mother or a lady who was going to show me through character. And there's a big difference. You can have knowledge, but if it's not in your heart, it shows. And it shows loudly. Now you got to understand, this is what Paul's telling Titus. He's like, you need to tell the older women, they've got to help the younger women, because there is probably no distinction being made between the Church of Jesus Christ and the culture of Crete. You know, the people who are always liars? The church doesn't duplicate that. The church is the example of what goodness looks like, and it's going to start in the home through the moms. Let's look at the next thing I want you to see. Mothers show goodness to all when they show love to husbands and children. You're probably like, well, who couldn't figure that out, preacher? Right? I get it. This isn't anything, some major fine. But did you hear what Paul said? He said, tell the older women to teach the younger women to love their husbands and children. Because remember what I said? I said, we're living in a time where people were being forced to do stuff within the homes that they didn't want to do. So for instance, if you were a girl, you might have been forced to marry somebody you didn't like. Are y'all thankful Jesus showed up? That stuff began to stop after Jesus gets here. You see what I'm saying? Earlier, that stuff begins to stop because there's in God, there's no male nor female, is there? But just think about what's going on here. They're saying, mom and dad have found a mate for you. Doesn't matter if you love them or not, but this is going to be your husband. And by the way, I'm going to be a little bit more detailed. Just think, probably by the time they're 12 to 14 years old. Now, ladies, can you imagine? I mean, that would be tough. So what Paul is saying then is, look, God understands the situation you're in, and you know, but you have to show love to your husbands and children. Now, as a pastor, this is why I know when people come to me who are having marital trouble and they might want some counseling, this is why I know every single thing that happens in marriage can be worked out. Because if God's word can address a situation where somebody is going into a relationship where there's no love, and he can redeem that by saying, if you love your husband, then whatever situation you're in, of your own choosing, you can overcome that through the love of God. So what's happening, Paul says, if you go ahead and love your husband. Now what this means is that you have to see this as a calling from God to love your husband. Now, you and I both know, we all know people who don't really love their husbands or their wives, right? That they're only just in it because they don't know what else to do. In fact, because they're in it, because they're just in a tough situation, and this happens. And then what happens sometimes, if in particular for moms or young women who find themselves in a situation where they don't love their husbands, they have children, and you know what else happens? They don't love their kids either. There's several of you out here who work in education. You know what I'm telling you is true. And so because there is a lack of love for husbands and children, you know what happens? There's a lot of bitterness that creeps into that household, right? And if you're living in a culture where sexual immorality is acceptable, you can almost justify cheating on your husband and having nothing to do with your children. Because after all, it was all a lie anyway. You didn't love that person. He didn't love you. You were forced into something. It's just something that happens. But you can find someone else. These are the types of things that still happen today. So if that's happening in the American church, let's say, then we shouldn't be shocked to think that the church is beginning to become more lost. And if the church is becoming more lost, then what you're seeing happening all over the United States is actually normal now. Because Jesus Christ is not at the forefront of each of our homes. And moms, I'm just telling you, it starts with you. Your love is going to be the first thing that your children see. And some of you who had good mothers, you all know right now that anything you knew about love, that you learned about love, you learned it from your mom. When I tell people who are getting married, I tell them, look, you're going to have children someday. And what's going to happen is the way you love each other is going to trickle down. You're going to be observed by your children. And what they're going to do, they're going to duplicate what they see you do. And they're going to treat their spouse the way that you treat each other. Because they're going to have a particular view of what love looks like. And it doesn't take a scientist to understand that the lack of love that we have for each other in our nation is destroying us. People say, how do we get here? We don't know how to love anymore. Moms, it starts with you in some ways, doesn't it? Because you're the one that's going to have the ear of the young children first. You're going to be the mom. You're going to tell them right and wrong. You're going to be the one that's going to show them unconditional love. You're going to be that person. And your children are going to learn how to treat their spouses by watching you. I'll get to the dad's Father's Day, trust me. I'll make a deal with you. We'll kick the dads while they're down on Father's Day, okay? I want to show you something else.
Of a holy life by thinking of your character as something sacred.
What Paul is saying, then, is your conduct.
Because here's what would have happened. I would have been invited back again. Because she wouldn't have wanted anybody acting ridiculous to go and embarrass her. So the same concept then, what Paul is saying then to mothers is, your conduct, if you are someone who is connected to Jesus
Christ, your conduct out in public, it matters. Because what Paul is saying then is, look, if your conduct is something you don't care about, you are actually bringing shame upon Jesus Christ. And if you're bringing shame upon Jesus Christ, you're giving people a reason to talk badly about Jesus Christ. In other words, when we sin openly in public, we're actually putting Jesus up for public shame again on the cross. So our conduct matters. You probably are thinking, well, Pastor, you know, I get what you're saying, but doesn't everybody understand that we have to behave when we're in public? No, they don't. And if you all leave here this morning, we've talked about this in the past. This must be something I'm supposed to be saying, I guess. I don't know. But we've all talked about this in the past. If you go to McDonald's, I don't think the room is open, but if you go to McDonald's, what do you see from Christians on Sunday mornings? Are they behaving? Or are they being rude? Many of you who have been servers, what? You realize that the worst people to deal with tends to be the Sunday crowd. And what do you think people like me, who didn't know Christ, right, are saying about people of the Sunday crowd when they're terrible? Here come the Christians. Here come the holy rollers, right? All going to come in here and act like they're better than us and treat us terribly. Moms, I'm going to tell you something. Part of the reason why we are telling people the only piece of Jesus that we like is that he just forgives us for whatever we do is because we've had no intention of ever changing to become more like Jesus Christ. And if you're out in public and you're rude to people and you're talking against them and you're trying to take advantage of them, notice what Paul said. I'm even going to go so far as to say, if you are flirting with people because of the sexual immorality that was in Crete, right? If you have no self-control, all of these things are what goes against Jesus. And it is no longer attractive to the world, the teaching of Jesus Christ. Mothers always show the goodness of God. This morning, if you're someone who is thinking, Pastor, I just don't understand. It sounds like you're picking on moms. I'm not picking on moms. I want moms, especially those who watch online, I want moms to realize how serious your role is, because it's your role to show goodness. It's my role to show goodness as well. But it's going to start with you in the home. And until our homes are taken back for Jesus Christ, we're never going to get anywhere as a people. And so if you're someone who has been thinking, I don't really care about my character because Jesus understood that and my character doesn't matter to him, he loves me anyway, you are right. But let me say, if you're going to love him back and return the love that he gives back to him the right way, then your character matters to Jesus Christ. It just does. If you're someone this morning who's thinking, Pastor, all I know is it's easy for me to love my children. Well, what about your spouse? Because it's not one without the other. They're together. And so if you're going to love your family, if you're going to demonstrate like my neighbor's mother did. That was the time I got into a normal household. That was the time. I never ate at the kitchen table or at a dining room table unless I was at a place like that. It was just a foreign concept. And I never knew how to interact with people unless I was at that person's house. Because I was watching her love her husband and her love her children and love her neighbors, right? And I was the neighbor kid that God assigned to her so that she could disciple me. Moms, your role is so important. That's why we're talking like this morning. Love your husbands, love your children. Conduct, you're saying, well, I think I act pretty good. I understand, but always teach the awareness to your family that it matters how we are portraying ourselves outside of the home so that nobody can bring anything bad to say against Jesus Christ into it. Because you're a minister of the gospel just like I am, except you're ministering to your children first. And that's where my first ministry is, by the way. My family. But ministering rightly to our family helps us to minister to our neighbors rightly. What if the American church, what if we started to understand how serious this is, that mothers, you can show goodness, and we're reminded today, I think that what would happen is I would no longer see when I'm working with a child who is very disrespectful and very unruly, when I see the parent, I see where it comes from. I don't think I would see that anymore. I think we'd begin to heal our communities. But to heal our community, it has to start in our homes first. Just making general statements doesn't do anything. But we have to take it home and do it at home first, where nobody else sees you but only God and your family. So with all heads bowed and eyes closed, I just want to pray for the mothers in particular this morning and those who have a ministry. If you don't have kids and you're still a mother because you're probably mothering your neighbors in some way. Let's pray. Father, we come before you now. We're so grateful, Lord, for your word. Thank you for teaching us. Father, I pray that if there's anybody within the sound of my voice this morning that's struggling with anything I've said, I pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit would clear it up. I pray, Father, for moms in particular and dads, but especially mothers this morning, because this is Mother's Day. Lord, we would ask that they would take hold of the mantle that you have laid out in your word to take seriously, Lord, the discipling of their family, not just their family, Lord, but to disciple their neighbors around them and not to think it a burden, Lord. But Lord, that if there's anybody who thinks it's a burden what I'm saying, that you would begin to change the hearts, Lord. Help them to love as Jesus loves. Then it will turn from burden to freedom, Lord. Now, Father, I pray that you would go with us now. Put people in our midst, Lord, that are not connected to you through Jesus Christ, so that we can show them the way. Bless the moms. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. God's people said, amen.